Hallelujah. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about knowing God. About knowing Him. Not just knowing about Him. Not just knowing a little bit. God is so, He's so big. I mean, He's so beyond what we can really grasp or comprehend with our mind. His wisdom, I mean, His power, that He created everything, that everything is upheld by His Word. We just, wow. When we think of knowing God, it's not just like a little relationship of knowing something about. I mean, God wants you to come into a very intimate, a very deep knowledge of Him. I mean, where we can perceive and recognize His voice versus our soul speaking at any place, at any time. God wants us to come into a greater knowledge of Him. I want to read a scripture to you. You can turn with me there. It's Philippians 3, verse 10. However, I'm going to read it from the Amplified, okay? So you can go ahead and turn there in your Bible and just look at it for just a moment. But once you've got your eyes on it, I just want to read it from the Amplified. I want to put a little more definition in it. I want to put a little bit more detail in a minute. And I want you to understand now, this is coming from the heart of Paul. Paul, who was the one that wrote majority of the New Testament. Paul, who was the one that got the main revelation of what was accomplished at the cross, at Christ coming to live in us, at the kingdom of God living in us. He was the one that brought forth the mystery that had been hidden for ages past. He was the one to bring that forth to the people of God. And this is Paul speaking in Philippians toward the end of his life, okay? Not toward the beginning of his life when he had the glorious encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus, where the Lord knocked him down to the ground and he encountered Jesus. Since that time, since that road encounter to now, many things had Paul seen. Many things had Paul heard. Many encounters of the Lord, many dreams, many visions, many revelations, many miracles. Much of him seeing the kingdom of God at work in the earth. And he goes on to make this statement. He said, "For my determined purpose is." How many of you know as a Christian that you never, ever, ever have to lose your purpose? Because our purpose in Christ never changes. I'm fixing to tell you what your purpose is in Christ always. It's actually the vision, the mission of this church, which is to know Him. That purpose will never change. No matter how long you do it, no matter how much you know of God, no matter how much you experience of God, your purpose will never change. It was Paul's determined purpose that I may know Him. To know God. Look, we're not talking about just knowing someone special in the earth. We're not talking about just knowing someone who's famous. We're not just talking about knowing someone who's got a great reputation. We're talking about knowing God. What a privilege to know God. And that's why our purpose is that we may know Him. And then it goes on to say that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him. We're talking Paul speaking here. He's saying that he wanted to progressively, that means every day more. That means that where you're at today ought not be where you were at a year ago. It means that where you're at today ought not be where you were at a month ago. It means that where you're at in the knowledge of the Lord ought not be today where it was a week ago. Progressively becoming more. Look at your neighbor and say more. More. More deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person. What does it mean to know God? It means to be able to perceive, to recognize, and understand the wonders of Him, of all that He is, of His nature, of His character, of his life, of His kingdom, of his attitude. It means fully understanding His love, His joy, His peace, His righteousness. the wonders of his person. Then he goes on to say, more strongly and more clearly. Sometimes in the body of Christ, we take very familiar words, but I call them Holy Ghost words. It's like in a moment, it's like the Holy Ghost gets on it. And there's like Holy Ghost activity on a particular word. And that's when I read this and I keep seeing more. It's like more. It's like there's, you know, the Spirit of God calling us to more of God, to want more of Him. This is a passionate word. This is a not sit in your chair and think, oh, that's nice. This is a passionate word. I'm talking about where there's something in you that wants to know God, the wonders of His person, more and more and more. It's not enough. I'm not satisfied. I have to have more of Him. I have to partake of more of Him. I have to experience more, more, more. Come on, if there's never ever been an hour for more, it's an hour now for more of God. So Paul said he would understand the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. Come to know the power. Listen, it's okay to want to know the power of God. It's absolutely okay to want to know the power, to want to know the anointing, to want to be able to experience, to have it for what you need in your life, but also to use it, to yield it, to wield it, to disperse it, to distribute it. It's not just enough to know His presence. It's not just enough to know His power. The truth is that we ought to be in hot pursuit of knowing Him in His presence and His power more and more. More and more. More and more. If nothing else today, Lord, let them be stirred up in their more, in their more, in their desire for more of You. If you're not going to talk with me and help me here, I'm just going to do it with the Lord directly. We do need to know Him. We need to know Him more. We need to understand His love more, His life, what it is to really have the life of God inside us. We really need more of God. And when I say more of God, I know that the Spirit of God comes to dwell in us. I know that we're sealed by the Spirit in our heart. I know that once we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the fullness of who He is comes upon us. But I'm saying that we still need more of God. We need more experiences with Him, because every experience brings something, brings an aspect, brings an understanding, brings a revelation, brings something of God that we didn't need. Listen, we don't have it all right now in that we've not fully attained, that's a good way of saying it, all of it yet. And that's what keeps us hungry. That's what keeps us pressing forward. That's what keeps us after I've been doing church for 20 years and 30 years and 40 years, I'm still here because there's still more. We need more of Him in us accessing and working greater dimensions, greater giftings, greater things of God, the workings of God. Do you agree with me that we need more? We do need more encounters. Hallelujah. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? He made the statement at one point in Corinthians. He said, well, that the Lord had taken him on to visions and revelations. And listen, you don't necessarily get to decide when and how the Lord does it, but I tell you what will happen. Every time God sees a hungry heart, come on, every time God sees someone pressing in saying, Lord, I don't know exactly what I need, Lord, but all I know is I need more and more of You. And God will progress us and bring us into the things that we have need of. You know, I remember years ago, there was a member of our church, a lovely man. I mean, a man that we had known for many, many, many years. Unfortunately, he fell ill. And at one point, he was not able to come to church anymore. And this was back in the day before live streaming and everything. And so Pastor Chaz, at one point, we'd done this several times, but one day we went over to his house to visit him, and his wife was there. And we were sitting there and we were talking about, you know, him and the fact that Jesus had made provision for him to get well. We'd known them for many years. They were members of our own church, a spirit-filled church. And as I was sitting in my chair, the Lord said to me, you know, inside me, he said, ask him if he's spirit-filled. And when the Lord said that, I thought really, to be honest, it was a really strange question. I've known this man for many years. He'd always been in a spirit-filled church. But I obeyed the Lord and I said, are you filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, speaking in tongues? And of course I said that like that because that's a command in the Bible. It is a command. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 is a command to the believers. It's not just like a little something some people get to choose and decide. It's like Jesus said, I command you to go and wait for the promise of the Father and that he'll come upon you and you'll be witnesses. And so I just said, you know, you're filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. And he said, no. He said, no. He said, no, listen. He said, I don't have any problem with that. Well, praise God for that. I'd hate to have a problem with something that God wants and instituted. He said, I don't have any problem with that. He said, my wife's spirit-filled. She speaks in tongues all the time. He said, but I've just never felt like I needed that. When he said that, on the inside of me, the Lord said he will die. The Lord said that the revelation that he needs about healing that needs to come out of his head and into his heart is found in tongues. And because he's never submitted himself to tongues, he's not able to get the revelation that he needs. And he died. What was the situation there? He needed more of God. He needed something more. He needed a revelation. We need more of God. We need to make sure that we're never stale in our pursuit. We're never comfortable. We can't get complacent with the things of the Lord. These are special things. These are holy things. These are things that Jesus gave his life for. That we could really have the presence of God. Jesus, who in the earth had the presence of God about him, with him all the times, knew that God was always present and with him, but yet when he went at the cross and he stepped, it says that the iniquity of the world was placed upon him. And in that moment that God was removed from him and he cried out to me, Abba, Father, why is it that you have forsaken me? In that moment, Jesus had the revelation, the understanding that something he had lived with, the presence of God, always in his life at that moment was taken away, and now here he was without the presence of God. Do you know why Jesus stepped into that place out of the presence of God? Was so that we could step into his presence, have the presence of God. I mean, experience him, encounter him. Wow. We must be wanting the things of God. We must be wanting more of God. And what happens is we make place for such things by praying. Well, see, that didn't get a big shout. We would rather just fall down out of heaven. We would rather just say it one time. But the truth is, praying, talking to the Lord, listening to the Lord, waiting upon the Lord, watching in the Lord, worshiping the Lord, praying is what positions our heart before the Lord. And if we want more of the Lord, we have to position ourselves for more of the Lord. It means we're going to have to squish out, we're going to have to squeeze out all of the things, all of the TV that we're positioning our heart before, all of the social media. I'm not opposed to those things in general. Listen, but if they're the primary part of your life, if they're what's taking your free moments, if that's how you're finding a rest or comfort, or that's how I'm chilling out, how about chilling out in the presence of the Lord? How about turning some of that stuff off and realize there's something that I can gain of God by spending some time with him? Praying is what connects us with God. Prayer is us meeting with God. And I know that God is in us. And I know that technically we can meet with God all the time anywhere, but really that's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. Keeping that attitude, that place of connecting with God. God is with you everywhere you go. He's with you at work. He's with you in the car. He's with you in the shower. He's with you when you're eating. He's everywhere with you. But having a consciousness of his presence, I mean, where you can talk with him and commune with him and hear him say things and things happen, we need that. But we also need some set aside, shut everything off, turn the music off. Come on, turn the TV off, shut down the kids. I remember Reverend Keith Butler, when he was going to Bible school, he had a small house and he had a bunch of children, and his escape place was underneath the kitchen table. He would get underneath the kitchen table, and he learned even how in the middle of all the kids running and everything going on, he would shut himself out, but he would tell those kids, if I'm under that table, don't you be crawling under there with me. Don't you be doing it. That's my meeting with God. We need to have meeting times with God. If you've ever worked at a company and you have a boss, there's times you have to have meetings, right? I mean, there's times when you have to get together with your boss face to face, or with your comrades when you got a project to do face to face and talk about. You got to meet, you got to talk, work some things out. Well, that's what life is like with God. He didn't just throw us down here and then the minute that we got saved, we just knew everything and it's just about going with life. No, we got to be meeting with God to get some direction, to get some strength. Just 15 minutes. And it's like, whoa, I just caught a fresh breath in the Lord. It's about praying. And so we, the church today, you know, we're always talking about what we want to see. We're always talking about, and I don't care what terminology you use. I don't care if you use revival. I don't care if you use the outpouring. I don't care if you use, moves of God, whatever it is. But we're always talking about these things. But are we praying? I wonder, because the prayer meetings here at church seem fairly small. If we have a bless me meetings, which we don't really do those, or we have a healing meeting, everybody shows up because they want something from God. But when the prayer meetings happen, it's like, where is everybody? I do want what the early church had. I want the life that's represented in the book of Acts. And the reason I want it is because God, that's what God designed for us. That is what he designed for us. And when I stand before Jesus, I don't want to have lived short, at least not actively pursuing as much as I can. I don't want to have lived short of what the cross provided. So the life that you see in the book of Acts, the Spirit-filled life, I mean, where they heard the voice of the Lord, where they had visions and dreams and visitations of God and encounters, where they were led by the Spirit, where they could go out and change the world. I mean, bring the healing power of God on the scene, put devils on the run. We're designed for that. But if we want that, we're going to have to pray for that. If you go through the book of Acts and you're skimming over all of the wonderful things you see, don't skim over the fact of how many times they were praying. How many times they were found together praying. You see, one thing you need to understand about prayer is that in different types of prayer, you connect differently with God. You connect differently with God's power. You're going to connect differently with God in a corporate setting than you are at your house. The power of God that you connect with in intercession is going to be different than the power you might connect with in you making a petition for yourself. I hate when I feel like the church is missing out on something. And I don't want to be one of those churches. If we want what the early church had, we're going to have to do what the early church did. And I think if we were to go through the book of Acts, we would see some things that are very prevalent. that would identify or show us why they had great spiritual results. Pastor Chaz and I say this all the time. At this church, we're interested in results. We don't want to just pray for you a fancy prayer and you like the words and how it sounded and you go home the same. We don't want to lay hands on you for healing and you think, wow, that's wonderful. They prayed for, they're believing with me. No, no, no. We want something to happen. I mean, we want the power of God to touch your body. Get ready. I remember that was Iris's testimony. First couple times she came here. She had something in her body. She'd actually been told she wasn't going to be able to have any more children, and she was wanting a child. And we were having a healing service, I think, and somebody had invited her to the healing service. And I just happened to be preaching that day. And she said she came up front, and when I got in front of her, she said, I said, are you ready? And she said, I thought to myself, ready for what? Because she was used to just going up and having people pray. She said, ready for what? And she said, all of a sudden you touched me. And she said, I was ready. She got healed. And now she has babies. Two more babies. That's not me. That's. But the reason that the church had great spiritual results, I believe primarily was because they had great spiritual power. They weren't just a church in word or doctrine, but they were a church in power and in demonstration. Amen. And how did that power come? Was it just because they were the early church? No, number one, I believe it was because they were witnesses. You're going to like that. I threw that in there, right, Pastor? Come on, get it in the hearts of the people that we are all created to be a witness. The truth is, when you turn your life around to start realizing that everything that you have from God and know from God, you need to be able to share. And then when you start wanting the same things as God for the same reasons as God, so when you're going to get in front of people and share something, you want the anointing to be there, you want the presence to be there, you want the power to be there. I mean, you want the love of God to be there, you want the anointing to be there, you want whatever's needed in that moment, you want a word of knowledge to come. Come on, you want a gift of healing to drop upon you. That's what we want. Why do we want that? Because that's how we show God to other people. When you get that, man, God will put spiritual power on you. Amen. Number two, the reason that they had great spiritual power was because they fasted. Why? Because fasting is a crucifying of yourself. Your flesh, your head, your wants, your desires. Still nothing. Still nothing, Aaron. Nothing. Nothing. How about we fast together? How about we all fast next Saturday and Sunday up until church? Who's in with me? Who's in? You're rising your hand in the sight of God. Just recognize that. Okay, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. So they were witnesses, they fasted, and they prayed. They prayed all the time. They were just people of prayer. You know, when I first got spirit-filled and really in the kingdom and walking in the kingdom and learning all these things of God, I just decided to use my confession in my prayer life. And so I would go around all the time. I love to pray. I am a prayer. I pray according to God's will. A prayer is always coming from my... I mean, I just use my confession to establish a truth in my life. We got to be people of prayer. What we need is more prayer so we can have more of God. Because again, prayer is the meeting place. It's the place with which we meet with God, where things of God come, where we encounter God, where... And last, they had great faith. Well, they had great faith because they prayed and fasted all the time. They had great faith because they were in the Word, because they knew the Spirit of God. Pastor Chaz and I talk about a vision that John G. Lake had. I want to just show you something about that vision. I should be able to say it, and you should be able to repeat it with me. But John G. Lake was over in South Africa. He was up one night, went out to walk into a park and to pray. And he said when he got out there, he was drawn by a great light. He didn't know what it was, but when he got up to the light, it was an angel. It was an angel of God, a real angel that appeared to him. An angel that was sent from heaven to talk to him from the heart of God. And so the angel began to talk to him about various gospel works that he had going on in various places. And he said at one point, he had a question. And so he asked the angel this. He said, what idea should be held before the minds of men as the will of God? In other words, above all things, what should we keep in front of the people as this is the will of God? And he said he had been carrying his Bible. And he said at that point, the angel of God took the Bible out of his hand, opened it up to the second page of Acts, where the Spirit of God came down out of heaven into the hearts of men. And he began to run his finger all the way down through the pages, through all the outstanding phenomena, through all the outstanding revelations. And the angel of God said this, the book of Acts, is Pentecost as given through the heart of Jesus. Strive for this. Contend for this. Teach the people to pray for this. For this and this alone will meet the necessity of the human heart, and this alone will have the power to overcome the forces of darkness. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. The necessities of your heart, love, peace, strength, I mean, everything that your heart desires, every answer, everything your heart desires is wrapped up in a life lived fully with God through the Spirit of God. Strive for it. Contend for it. That must mean there's a fight with it, right? But we are contenders, right? I mean, didn't the Lord just call us contenders, I think, back in July? We are contenders. But he said, teach the people to pray for this. That's what God said. Teach the people to pray for this. Today, I'm teaching you to pray for it. Not just want it. Not just sit back, hope it comes. Not think, wow, that's great. Wow, one day we're waiting for the huge revival to blow in. We're waiting for the big move of God. I'm all for that if God wants to do that in that measure. But what I have already decided is that I personally, and those that want to go with me, I can live in revival every day. I'm not going to get to heaven feeling like God didn't do something that was necessary for my life. But I'm going to have to pray for it. I'm going to have to keep it in front of me. Teach the people to pray for this. Not teach the people how to pray. Now listen, I'm all about teaching how to pray, and there's some things that we need to know about praying. But the angel said, teach the people to pray. Actually, when the disciples asked Jesus, before Jesus went to the cross, you can sit, probably it's Matthew, maybe 6, maybe. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Not how to pray, to pray. How do I teach you to pray? By telling you the importance of it. How do I teach you to pray? By telling you the benefits of it. How do I teach you to pray? By telling you the necessity of it. How do I teach you to pray? Is by keeping it ever before you, keeping opportunities for you to come and pray, talking to you about praying. That's how I teach you to pray. The angel of God said to teach the people to pray. I'm all for getting in the meeting and worshiping. I'm all for, you know, doing some things where we entreat, Lord, but are we really praying? I mean, are we pouring our hearts out? Are we contending? Are we thinking, I can't leave here today until I know that I've met with God, that I've touched heaven, that God has heard me? Teach the people to pray. A real spiritual desire is evidenced by an outflow of prayer. So don't ever tell me that you're desiring something of God or wanting something of God if you're not on your face, if you're not on your knees consistently. Because a real spiritual desire is evidenced by an outflow of prayer. The Lord told me this one time. He said the church needs not just enough prayer to survive, but more than enough prayer to thrive. Did you hear that? We, the church, we can't have enough. We can't have just barely enough prayer. Do you know all the things that need to be prayed for us as the church? We have assignment from God. We didn't just create a church just to have a church. No, we have a part in the body of Christ. We have a part in the kingdom of God. There are things that God puts in our hands. It's our destiny. And guess what? You're here. So this is us together. All the things that need to be prayed out for the church. Sometimes it feels like maybe you just barely got enough prayer, barely surviving, barely making it. Well, we ought to have more than enough prayer. Praying is what Christians do. Praying is like, should be like breathing as an individual. It's something, I mean, once you're here in the earth, you just breathe. You have to breathe every day. Well, as a Christian, once you're set in the kingdom, prayer just ought to be, it's what we do. It's what we do every day. It's connecting with God. It's meeting with God. It's fellowshipping with God. It's communing with God. The truth is, if you're not a prayer, then you're not really humbled before the Lord. Because when you really find out how really dependent you are on God, you'll be on your knees. C.H. Surgeon said this, prayer can never be in excess. I like that. Prayer can never be in excess. Well, with that visitation that John G. Lake had, at the end, the angel went on to say this. He said, when the angel was departing, he said, pray, pray, pray. Teach the people to pray. Prayer and prayer alone, much prayer, persistent prayer, is the door of the entrance into the heart of God. Prayer is what gives us entrance into the heart of God. Spirit-led prayer is needed to touch the heart of God and to affect the unseen world. Andrew Murray said this, we must believe that God, in the mystery of prayer, has entrusted us with the force that can move the heavenly world and bring its power into the earth. Prayer is a privilege. We need to see it as such. Prayer is the Christian's lifeline. It's as we humble ourselves. Because why? Because we need Him. Because I'm going to get something in my prayer. And I'm not talking about just praying your petitions. Prayer is so much bigger than that. I have found that really, if you'll get into the Spirit and just begin to pray and pray with the Spirit and pray out what God wants and what God wills and what God's desire, God already knows your needs. And many times, you know, just so quiet, and then the Lord's like, I got that. You don't even ask about that. I got it. Prayer's our meeting with God. We got to remember that. The Lord said this to me one time. He said, pray, pray, pray. Pray to get in the flow. Pray to be in the know. Prayer is the vehicle that will get you where you want to go. So again, I say pray, pray, pray. Pray in your understanding. Pray in tongues. Pray with worship, songs of love. Pray tuned in with the one above. For I am with you, working with you, praying with you. You are not alone. And your prayers will be answered from the throne. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says this, Let us, that's an invitation, let us, God not making us, but let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Come to the throne. God is saying, come to the throne. Come to the throne. When we pray, we encounter God. We get a glimpse of something. Years ago, we were on the stage at church. We were worshiping. All of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. I fell to my knees. And as I fell to my knees, I began to pray. And as I was praying, I had a spiritual vision. And here's what happened. In that spiritual vision, the Lord said to me, He said, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find help. And then I saw in the Spirit a vast, large expanse of space. I knew that the space that I was seeing was before the throne of God, but I couldn't see the throne. It was like the throne was behind me and I was looking out into the spirit realm from the throne's perspective. And as I was looking out into this huge, vast space, I began to see spaces that were carved out, little niches that came, and they came right all the way up to the throne of God. All these places that were carved, and I knew that God Himself had specifically carved out every place. And what it was it was a place for every believer to come and stand before the throne of God. A place for every person, that person alone, to stand. God has made a place for you to stand at the throne, individually carved out, specific for you. You can't stand in my place. I can't stand in your place. And as I was watching in this vision, what I began to see was that some of those spaces had someone in them, but some of them were empty. And I heard the Lord again making that call. He was calling us to come to our place in prayer, to come to our place before the throne, to come to take our place in the spirit realm. And then He said again that we're to come boldly, to come to stand in our place, that specific place for you. And then the Lord said this. He said, this place is a place to petition and a place to receive. He said, it's a place to listen and a place to get answers. He's talking about the place of prayer before the throne. He said, it's your place of position. It's your place of power. It's your place of authority. And it's your place of grace. And He said, I'm calling you to come and take your place. Guess what happened? In a moment of my prayer, my yielding to the Spirit of God that came upon me, and instantly getting into a place of prayer, a revelation came. I have lived off of that revelation about prayer. I don't want my place empty. I don't want when God looks out, where's Joni? There's things that need to be accomplished in that place today that no one else can do, that no one else can pray. God wants us to pray. He's made a place for us. So specific. How special. It's like your special meeting place with God. Where when you stand there, God comes up close. He says, y'all want to tell you something. Y'all want to show you something. Y'all want to help you with something. Yeah, I'm going to give you mercy today. Oh, yeah, I'm going to give you grace today, my enabling power upon your life. Amen. It's what happens when we pray. We encounter God. We get more of Him. That's why our prayers don't have to be like shallow and stale. And praying is not a duty. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to meet with God. You know, when I was a young believer, first in the Spirit-filled life, I was doing a lot of things to try to help my connection with the Lord. And so many times when I would pray, I would get an empty chair and I would sit it in front of me. as a reminder that I'm not just praying nothing. I'm not just praying into the air. I'm not just that God is God. And I would just imagine that Jesus is just him is sitting right there. And that's how I taught myself to pray, with the consciousness that he is ever before me. Then the revelation came. Now I just stand in my place. It's what happens when we pray. It's what happens when we wait, is that we get what we need. We get what we need for our life. We get what we need for the life of the kingdom. We get what we need for the church. We get what we need for other people. We get that through praying. It is the vehicle. Another time I was praying, talking about what we get from God. Another time I was at a prayer meeting and at my church. And I had gone in, we had a small group of people that would pray together sometimes, and what we would always do in the beginning is we would take like the first 10 minutes and we would kind of, for our own self, to set our heart before the Lord, because we were fixing to come together and pray. We were fixing to encounter God. There was no place of selfishness. There was no place of you having all your to-do list of all the things or all your troubles or all your, no, we had to cast all that off. So we had 10 minutes. And I remember that day I walked in and I just, for some reason, just the scripture in Acts chapter 13 where it said that Paul and them ministered to the Lord. And I just sat down and I just thought, I'm going to minister to the Lord. I'm not going to ask him for something. I'm not going to tell him what I want. I'm not going to tell him what I need. I'm not nothing. I'm just going to minister to him. And I sat down on the ground. And I just begin to minister to the Lord, just love him, just bless him, just everything I am about him. And you know what happened in that moment of praying? Jesus sat in front of me. I mean, all of a sudden I was just there loving on him or whatever, and then all of a sudden he's there. And he sat right down in front of me, sat the same exact way that I sat. And I had my hands like this. I'll never forget it. I had my hands like this. Well, when he sat in front of me, it almost like froze me for a moment because I knew he was there. And I didn't dare want to open my eyes because I was scared I might lose it. You know, like Mike, when one time God was going to take him up to heaven and he tried to take Laurie with him and it went away. It's like when God comes, just stay right where you're at. Just hang on right there. Don't move. Don't try to change nothing just in that moment. And as I sat there, just... I don't even know how to describe it. Just coming into knowing him more. There wasn't even words exchanged at that point. But just on the inside of me. And then all of a sudden Jesus, my hands were like this, he just put both of his hands in my hands. So here it was, I was already experiencing the presence of Jesus. This was the first time Jesus ever touched me. I've had numerous things since then, but this was the first time he put his hands in my hands. And when he did, now was I not only experiencing his presence, but I was experiencing his power. Because when he touched my hands, the power of God, the anointing, came into my hands. That was something I'd never experienced. At that point, I'd never experienced that like that. What happened in that moment of praying was that I got something of God. I got a recognition. I got an understanding of what the power of God felt like. And I sat there for a few minutes, and then Jesus was gone. And then I was like, "Wow! Now I got power in my hands. Surely this means something. What do I do? What do I do?" And so I just simply got up. I mean, I didn't really know what to do. Nobody else knew what was happening. They were just praying. I got up. My hands were like this, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh!" And so I just went over and started touching people, and as I touched them, they all just fell out. That's the first time that had ever happened. Why did that come? What was that, just to say, wow, I had an experience? Well, wow, I did, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful to have an experience, but it always brings something. It brought me learning how to work with the anointing, how to get familiar with that power, how to receive it, how to know it's there, how to release it. We're all just running around trying to get 10 minutes of prayer in every day, and just prayer is, Lord, let me tell you what I need. Lord, let me tell you what to do. There's a higher place. And I'm just trying to get you there this morning. I'm at least trying to get you to want to go there. Because I can't do it for you. I can sometimes set the atmosphere, because I know when Tanisha's praying, I know when Mike's praying, I know when Karen's praying, I know when Denise is praying, I know when they're here, I know they're setting the atmosphere. I already know what goes on. Many times they have visions, many times they have encounters, many times they hear the voice of the Lord. I can set the place, but I can't make you come. I can't make you pray at your home. If I could, I would. But I am teaching you right now to pray. Because I'm telling you, if you don't cultivate your prayer life, and if you don't press in to cultivate it, and not only cultivate it, but to progress in it, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on things that you need for your life. You're going to miss out on things that people need for you to have. A praying Christian is a powerful Christian. A praying church is a powerful church. The truth is, you'll only be as powerful as you are prayerful. I'm going to say that again. You will only be as powerful as you are prayerful. You want me to keep going? Prayer is where the action is. That's what John Wesley said. I'm reading to you, I just want you to know this morning, I'm reading, everything that I'm reading is like a sentence, is because it's something that either a believer heard from the Lord and quoted, or it's something that God said to me. How do I have them? Because they're important to me, and I write them down. And I review them, and I look at them so that I remember. Prayer is where the action is. In times of prayer and worship, God does His best work. I was thinking about this when the Lord this week began dealing with me about speaking about this. He had me go back and look at most of my encounters and my things where revelations have come and things that have changed my life. And almost all of them were in times of prayer or worship. Because worship really is a form of praying. At least if we're worshiping like this. Not when you're singing songs like this about yourself and about things that sound like they could be about your boyfriend. Because all Christian worship is not really worship. God does His best work in times of prayer and worship. James chapter 5, verse 16, turn there with me. I hope you're letting the Lord minister to your heart in this moment. You know, we've got to understand prayer well enough and want prayer enough to be able to yield to prayer. Even like in a meeting like this, I remember one time I was in a meeting in another country, and I don't really remember what prompted it. I was just ministering, and all of a sudden a whole third of the room fell under a spirit of prayer and intercession. They were all falling on the floor, and they were crying and they were weeping. It was like not emotional, like God. I had one of them come up to me after and say, I've never experienced anything like that. Where I felt like my heart wasn't even my own, and it was just all God, and I'm like, you know what? Praise God that you went there. Praise God that you yielded. Praise God that you let that happen. You need to honor the Spirit of God when He comes upon you. Don't tell Him, I'll do this later. I don't have time now. You might miss something. Somebody's life might hang in the balance. I remember one time years ago, I got woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning and with this urgent something in me to pray. I had no idea what I felt. I didn't know who, I didn't know what, but I knew it was something. And I instantly got out of bed and I got down on the ground and I just started praying. And I mean, it was just pouring my heart out. And then all of a sudden I saw an accident and a girl in an accident. I didn't know the girl. I didn't know. I don't know, but I knew it was something. And I just kept praying and I kept praying and I kept praying until boom, it was over. And I got up and I went to bed. And the next morning, on the news, there was a girl that was in an accident. It was exactly what I had seen in prayer. God wants us to be the vehicle. James chapter 5, verse 16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Remember, prayer is a privilege. It's not a duty. It's a delight. It's a delight to meet with God. It's a delight to be His instrument. It's a delight to be His vessel. It's a delight. And really, if we will pray that way, we will find our prayers more effective. Because you have to, when you're praying, you got to get your heart and soul into it. Not just your head. Amen. I mean, you got to get your heart and soul into it. Amen. But our prayers are what makes room for the Lord to work. It's our prayers. God is looking. He's always been looking. Even in the Old Testament, He was looking. Can I find just one intercessor? Just one that will stand in the gap? Just one that will pray? Just one that will work with me, petition, decree, so that it can give me interest and access into the earth. I remember one time I was in a meeting, and this was the first time this had ever happened. I was in a meeting, and I was sitting on the stage, the steps of the stage, and we were all, a bunch of us, just around praying. And all of a sudden, my tongue, I was praying in tongues, my tongue changed. And all of a sudden, it's like a burden came on me. And I began to pray, I mean, intensely. And before you know it, I was weeping, I was crying, I mean, it was just pouring my heart out. And then I just knew I was praying out of gospel work in Singapore. I'd never even been to Singapore. I didn't care a thing about Singapore. I didn't know nobody in Singapore. I was praying out of gospel, and for a solid year, there's times when I would be praying that spirit of intercession would come upon me, and I knew I was praying into a gospel work. Now I've been to Singapore, and I'm always reminded when I go there, praise God. I just know that my prayers had a part. Years before I ever got there, my prayers had a part, and Singapore's got some good ministry out of there. I'm going to close with a vision today I had about intercession, because that's one thing we have to remember. The success of the early church was partly because they were soul winners. They were witnesses. They wanted to go out and share the power of the resurrection that they had seen, that they knew. They wanted to share that with people. Remember how the angel had said that prayer was what gives us entrance into the heart of God? You do remember that, right? Well, you know, we're created people. Mankind is created in the image of God. So it's really not far-fetched to understand that your prayers many times are the things that will give God entrance into the hearts of men. And so this is what happened. We were in a prayer meeting here at Houston Faith Church. And all of a sudden I heard the Lord say this. He said, I'm looking for those who will give themselves to intercession, to pray open the closed hearts of men. When the Lord said that, instantly I was in a spiritual vision, and I was standing in a long hallway with closed doors on both sides. Now, this hallway went for as far as I could see. There was no end to it. All the way, it just went, seemed like it went forever and ever, and on that both side doors. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is this? The Lord said, these doors are the doors to the hearts of the multitudes. And I instantly knew that every door was locked tight. And I noticed that there were no knobs, no handles, no way of entrance from the outside. And he said this to me. He said, "You know nothing to say or to do. No way to open those doors. They must be opened from the inside. So pray." Then I became aware in the prayer meeting that we were all praying and that we were praying in tongues. And so I was praying. And then I saw the prayers in tongues turn into, they manifested, those prayers of intercession manifested as smoke. Now I'm still standing in the hallway in my vision. And as I continue to hear the prayers and I'm seeing the smoke, the more the prayers grew, the more the smoke grew. And then the smoke began to get thicker. It began to cover more space, and it began to get thicker and thicker in substance. And all of a sudden, my spiritual attention was denoted to the bottom of the door, these doors that were completely shut. And at the very bottom, there was just the slightest little sliver of an opening. And I saw the smoke. Once it filled the hallways, once it filled to where there was nowhere else to go, the smoke began very slowly to go underneath the openings of the doorways. Little by little, it was going. And the Lord said this, "These rooms are the hearts of men. The praying must continue so that the smoke fills the room completely. And then they will open the door, their hearts, and I, the Lord, will enter in." And then he said, "Give yourself to intercession for the hearts of men." Are you praying for the salvation of people? Are you spending time on your knees for something other than your needs? Remember, when we want what the Lord wants for the same reason that the Lord wants it, in other words, not because we want to be seen or heard or just because God wants people saved, when we desire that and submit ourselves and then position ourselves for that, God, He'll grant things. He'll grant power. He'll grant vision. He'll grant encounters. We're called to pray. We were created to pray. When we pray, things happen. When we pray, we set spiritual things in motion. It says what the effective, fervent prayers of the righteous make power available, avails much. It makes the place for the Lord to be able to work. It makes room for God to be able to come in. It makes the way. I don't know why it's this way. I don't know why God just didn't all leave it up to himself. He chose to work with us. And so we're the vessel. We are the vessels through which the power of God, the life of God, the salvation of God, the peace of God comes to men, to people. Hallelujah. We're called to pray. It feels heavy. Maybe it's the working in your heart. What I want you to remember today is that God's made a place for you, for every believer. And I do understand that there are seasons in life, and there are, even in my own life, I know that there are seasons where there's maybe a heightened something to pray into a certain area, but one disservice I think that the body of Christ has done is to, first of all, the word intercessors, intercession is a type of praying, so I don't know why we've termed praying people as intercessors. It's not really scriptural like that. So I like to call them prayers, the ones that pray. But we've tagged people and said, "Oh, they're intercessors." Well, what that does is it makes almost like there's a special gift on them, or there's a special call, or there's a special position. Nowhere in the Bible has there been given a position like that. Every believer is called to pray. And what we find about the prayers are they're usually the ones that have picked up on the necessity of praying, the importance of praying, the benefits of praying, the power in praying. And so they've availed themselves to that. They've given themselves to that. They've yielded themselves to that. And that's why when you get with them, it's like, wow, they really are a prayer. Well, they are a prayer, absolutely, but you really are a prayer too. And so don't discount yourself and don't leave that up to other people. Oh, they're the prayers. They're going to... No. We're all called to pray. Amen. God's made a place for every single one of us. And again, the reason I'm smiling is I talk about it because it's such a delight to connect with God and pray. It's not a drudgery. It's not a duty. If you come at it that way, you've missed it altogether. What's happened is you've not got the Spirit in it. Because the Spirit loves to pray. I'm going to talk about that next time. Spirit loves to pray. He loves to grab hold with us. Take hold of it. Push it along. Pray it along. Hallelujah. But I'm just determined that Houston Faith Church is going to be a praying church. So we're going to still be teaching you to pray. I'm determined that we're going to have praying people here. My heart would be just that anytime you walk in a prayer meeting, man, if you'll just get there, just purpose to get there. I say it all the time. Can't you just go to one? Couldn't you go to one prayer meeting a month, just one? I'm talking about praying corporately. When you pray corporately, something different from you praying by yourself. You are going to need to pray by yourself, absolutely. Do you know that you might have an easier time praying by yourself if you'll get around some corporate people praying? Because, I mean, the spirit of prayer gets activated. I mean, things happen. I mean, I'm not the only one that believes in that like that, right? I mean, like, we're really, you know, I've had things thrown on me in the spirit before where a deposit of something came. I believe that can happen in prayer. I believe there's no reason today why some people aren't walking out of here thinking, wow, I mean, everything has just changed for me now. Now I am a prayer.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.